1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. South Florida is drenched. Some residents are trudging through knee-to-waist-high floodwater. And as CBS's Manuel Bojorquez reports from Hollywood, Florida,
we're expecting more storms again today and more storms again tomorrow. And if they hit these same areas, well, the water's just going to pile up all over again.
The Supreme Court rejects a challenge to access of the commonly used abortion pill mifepristone. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson says the decision was based on a lack of standing by the doctors who sued.
It's somewhat remarkable that this case ever got to the Supreme Court because it's a fairly clear application of the court's standing doctrine.
Anti-abortion rights activists say the fight is not over. President Biden signs a major Ukraine security agreement. It's designed to bolster that country's defenses against Russia's invasion. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
This is an agreement on cooperation and thus on how our nations will become stronger.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another two-year college is closing in Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh is closing its Fox Cities campus a year from now. Enrollment has dropped by nearly two-thirds over the past decade. UW System Schools have closed four other two-year branch campuses since last year. The First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden, visited Green Bay Thursday, launching the Seniors for Biden-Harris campaign. Democrats are courting elderly voters by highlighting the contrast between their administration and former President Donald Trump's stance on issues important to seniors. Jill Biden says age is not the issue in this election.
But what this election is about, it's about the character of the person leading our country. It's about finishing the job you started.
Polls are showing Biden and Trump are neck and neck in popularity among Wisconsin voters. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Woke up this morning, got a message from a listener going, hey, did you see this? Chris Kobach, you know, from the Kobach Commission during the Trump years to do cross-check across the country to throw people off the voting rolls. You know, Chris Kobach, the voter suppression guy. Well, he's Attorney General of Kansas, and he's got a new crusade. Going after immigrants and going after unions. Yeah. In fact, Chris Kobach, very angry at the Department of Labor. They have come out with a new rule, a final rule that he has taken exception with. He says this rule is not just a violation of the law, it is bad policy. Chris Kobach goes on to say, once again, the Biden administration has placed the interest of foreign nationals over the interests of United States citizens. He says, giving unionization protections to a class of employees naturally drives up the cost of doing business for employers. So again, going after the immigrants, going after unions, because why would we want them to make decent wages? Now, he's not alone. Chris Kobach, not alone. You got 22 Republican attorneys general who have signed on to fight the U.S. Department of Labor on this new rule, which what the new rule does It allows agricultural workers who are here on H-2A temporary work visas to have concerted activity to make their workplace safer. Concerted effort to ensure that they don't get cheated out of wages. Basic wages, hours, conditions kind of stuff. Workplace protection, that gives them the ability without fear of retribution or punishment or beatings, gives them a little bit of a foot to stand on. Now, what's interesting is you've got these attorneys generals, and you know the states, Kansas, Georgia, South Carolina, Arkansas, Florida, Idaho. You can join in Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, and others. More, I'm sure, will come. More red states who want to go after those immigrants. And, of course, those unions. Because, look, right now, the Republican Party is all about, going after the immigrants and the workers. It's that simple. And what I find interesting is I read a good portion of the law that this final ruling that they've come out with. Now, understand, Republicans are very clear in wanting to make sure that workers are exploitable. So the idea of collective action, they hear collective, their mind just explodes. They hear concerted activities, mind explodes. Now, Kobach is accusing this administration of giving foreign farm workers something that American farm workers can't have because our laws are so badly broken that American farm workers, under federal law, bans American farm workers from collective bargaining. It's what happened, all those years ago, and we've never fixed that. So instead of saying, hey, maybe we fix that. No. Chris Kobach says, no, nobody gets nobody. Now, what I find interesting is they're going after, Joe Biden's putting America last. This is a great talking point. It's great for talk radio. They're going to give these immigrants rights. How dare they? But if you actually read the final rule, and again, I did, it's very clear. And I quote, the final rule does not require H-2A employers to recognize labor organizations or to engage in any collective bargaining activities such as those that may be required by the NLRA itself or by state law such as California Agricultural Labor Relations Act. It is specific, written right in the final rule. This does not give them collective bargaining rights. It gives them the ability to have concerted activity without fear of retribution or reprisal. Very different. This is saying that you can band together for mutual protection to fight for better wages, hours, and conditions. Like any association, you look at the Trucking Association, they've got their thing, the Owner Operators Association, there are all of these groups out there that they have some level of protection in numbers. What this is doing is saying, look, these foreign workers who are here as guest workers, they've gone through the process. They got the H-2A visa. They're here working. We should give them some level of protection. Now, why did I bring this up today? Because I thought it was quite ironic that when I got this message, within an hour, I got an email from the U.S. Department of Labor that points out that they had gone after a Nebraska construction company operating in Southern California and blatantly, as they put it, blatantly and willfully discriminating against U.S. workers by bringing Mexican workers into the U.S. under false pretenses, shortchanging their wages, and putting their safety and health at risk and in substandard living conditions. What they were doing is they were bringing people in saying, these are farm workers. They brought them in under these H-2A agricultural visa program. They brought them in to do farming. And what did the operators of R&R Cristo Construction LLC of Fremont do? Well, they put them to work in construction. Now, the Department of Labor forced them to pay, you know, wages of almost $300,000 in back wages to these workers, and, you know, almost $64,000 in penalties. And look, you know, again, slap on the wrist. It just is what it is. These companies keep getting away with this. You don't see R&R Christo Construction going to jail. But I found it interesting that here you have this situation where they're right in the report. This company abused this program, deliberately misrepresented the fact that these foreign workers were coming here to do agricultural work when in fact they were, as the Department of Labor says, they were employed for construction jobs at a San Joaquito poultry operation. The judge accordingly found the employer profited by abusing and exploiting vulnerable, unsuspecting H-2A workers by misrepresenting the nature of the job. The employers discriminated against U.S. construction workers and discriminated against workers here and failed to meet their legal obligation by employing agricultural workers. You read a little bit further down and you found out that the division learned of the situation after a referral prompted by Cal OSHA, which had investigated injuries suffered by these H-2A workers after falling from a roof. Again, you have one thing happen, and then a bunch of people start looking. They got cheated out of overtime. They got cheated out of wages. The housing was deplorable. In fact, they said that they had like 11 cots in one room. And you go, why do guest workers need some level of protection? R&R Christo Construction kind of rings a bell. And as they point out, look, the reality is, under California law, employers must pay construction workers 8 hours after working 8 hours a day and 40 in a work week. Employers can't pay H-2A workers less than what's required under the law. And yet here they were, surprise, 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 here they were cheating these workers out of wage. You know, what were they doing? They were lining their pockets. And this isn't new. This stuff happens in a lot of places. It happened, you know, here in Pennsylvania years ago, where you had, you know, people here on visas who were supposed to be, you know, student work visas, you know, working, you know, 100 hours a week at a fast food joint, living in a house, 15 people to a basement, while this company was making huge money, not paying them overtime, and in a lot of cases, not even paying them minimum wage. And I argued at the time, you know, they were here on a visa to experience America. And I said, you know, they got an experience, all right. They now know what it's like to be a low-wage worker in this country. They now know what it's like to be left behind by labor law. But I found it ironic that, you know, someone would send me this story, like, can you know, almost like, can you believe this? And look what they're doing. And then this story pops up. Now, am I surprised that Republicans are okay with exploitation like this? No, I'm not. And you shouldn't be either. But it is angering. And if there are problems like this in our labor law that farm workers can't unionize, maybe we fix it. Maybe we go and we fix the law to help make lives better. I don't know. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, Michael Sonato, reporter over at The Guardian, is going to come share some thoughts on some big labor stories. Back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, an interesting story coming out of California. About 6,000 grocery workers at the Kroger-owned Food for Less. As we speak, they're voting on whether or not to strike. Their contract ended on Saturday. It expired. They haven't gotten a new contract. And they're saying, look, you know, going to have to put that strike arrow in the quiver. And here to share some thoughts on, well, you know, what this could look like, what it means, and why we're here. I've asked Michael Sonato to come talk with us. Michael's a labor reporter over at The Guardian U.S. Michael, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me on again, Rick.
So I look at this 6,000 grocery workers said, you know what, wages aren't good enough, benefits aren't good enough, we demand better. I'm not surprised, you know, given the last couple of months, but what's going on?
This Kroger-owned chain, Food for Less, these workers have, toiled through, they've got this company through the pandemic. Their stores in Southern California are, you know, some of the top revenue producing grocery stores in the area, but their wages lag pretty far behind other grocery stores in the areas, the average being, you know, over $4 an hour difference between a grocery clerk at Food for Less and a grocery clerk at Ralph's. And some of the benefits, their guaranteed hours are worse also. And they're just asking to be brought up in line with the rest of the chains in the area at Kroger. And these grocery workers have been, you know, fighting Kroger for, the past few years. They were criticizing the company. They got rid of hazard pay during the pandemic. Kroger shut down stores in response to some local areas of California enacting that $5 hazard pay for grocery workers because, of everything they were put through during the pandemic, and they're still reeling from those issues. So, you know, these workers are putting their foot down. Kroger, multi-billion-dollar company, workers have been on strike in different areas in the country, at this grocery chain, and for the past year and a half, they've been trying to push through another merger, trying to acquire the Albertsons chain. Workers with UFCW have been, sounding the alarm, saying, they've done mergers like this, and what happens is jobs get lost, or, if one of the workers I brought back, they worked for a grocery chain 30 years ago. They got laid off and got called back at the same grocery store, different brand name. Their wage got cut by like $7 an hour. They lose their seniority. So they've been fighting all these different things. And this is just, the next chapter in that story of workers, taking out this company.
No, they've seen this movie, and it doesn't end well for the workers. It does well, I'm sure, for the corporate CEOs and the executives and the shareholders, not so much for the workers. But, here's the thing. It's Food for Less. It sounds like it's Work for Less. That sounds what it is. And I guess as we speak, as you've reported, they're already looking for scabs to come replace these workers in the event of a strike?
Yeah, they've had signs posted up in stores, open interviews, looking for replacement workers in the event of a strike, which just goes to show you, where they were thinking. And that was a couple weeks ago before the contract even expired. So, they're ready. But these workers are ready to go out if need be. The results are set to be out probably late Friday night, given, they're over in the West Coast, possibly right. Saturday. I'm not sure how early the strike will be called, but We'll see if the strike vote gets the company to make any movement. Right now, they're pretty far apart on wages. They're asking for that over $4 an hour increase, and the last best final offer from the company was a little over $3 over 3 years, so like a dollar. So it's pretty significant. So we'll see where that happens.
Yeah, what's interesting to me though, the fact that they are advertising for scabs to come and replace these workers, is we know in these situations that these companies are willing to spend enormous sums of money to get scabs to cross the picket line. We know that they're willing to spend millions and millions of dollars to get these scabs to force a bad contract on workers, but yet they won't spend that same money to make their workers happy. It's really twisted. And just yesterday we were talking about IKEA, and IKEA a couple years ago had people were leaving. And they said, hey, what can we do to keep people from leaving? We want them to stay. So what'd they do? They raised wages. They got better working conditions. They got better benefits. They did the things that, make people want to stay.
Yeah, and that's unfortunately the modus operandi of corporations in this country. They'd rather spend, more money fighting their workers, fighting unions, than, what would it take to, give them a fair contract.
It's again, it boggles the mind, because I don't believe it's about the money. I think it's purely about the control. It's about the we don't want to and we're not going to give in to you. So we'll see on Friday what happens here. I got to get some thoughts on your other story that caught my attention over at John Deere. John Deere won a good